are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I am thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're actually going to talk about this post-mortem press conference, as it is known. Farhan Zaidi, Gabe Kapler, and even Larry Bear met with the media yesterday to talk about the 2020 Giants season and starting to look ahead to 2021. So we'll discuss what they said in evaluating the 2020 season. Lots of different quotes we'll have, and what they hinted at in terms of what to expect in 2021. Just a bit of a teaser, Farhan Zaidi did say that a goal of theirs is to make the playoffs in 2021. So we'll talk about why that's not an unrealistic goal and everything else they had to say about the state of the Giants. But first, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So I've been through the ups, I've been through the downs, and it kind of struck me the other day, as everybody has been writing, that this was the fourth consecutive losing season for the Giants, and obviously the fourth consecutive year in which they did not make the playoffs. So that kind of took me aback a little bit, because it doesn't seem like that long ago the Giants were a good team, even in the like post-championship years. In 2016, they made the playoffs. They got to the NLDS against the Cubs. They had won that wild card game against the Mets. It just, to me, doesn't feel like that long ago, but really four seasons have come and gone since that time. And 2017 was an utter disaster. 2018 was when they pushed all their chips in the middle, despite losing 98 games the year prior, trading Brian Reynolds and Kyle Crick for Andrew McCutchen, trading Christian Arroyo and agreeing to take on Evan Longoria's contract in that deal with the Rays. And the team kind of hovered with 500 and then collapsed in the last couple months. 2019, Farhan Zaidi's first year, I think we started to see some progress. And then in 2020, I think we did see even more progress. So it's really a macro kind of exercise to look at the state of the Giants, because it's not really fair to like peg on the new front office the fact that this has been four straight losing seasons, because they were awful in 2017, but then they didn't kind of start to try to retool in 2018. They instead pushed their window even further back into the future by selling long-term assets for kind of short-term aspirations. So I don't really consider this them really trying to turn the page until 2019. And then this year was kind of a weird, fluky year where they did not have a minor league season, which definitely impacts the timeline. So I hope we don't get too caught up in the 4 years thing. It's really been like 1.5 years since they've really been trying to turn it around. And already we're seeing signs of significant progress. I've seen some people talking about how, honestly, even Baggerly and Brisby in The Athletic, they've both extrapolated out the Giants' winning percentage from this year and said what it would be over 162, and kind of using that as a legitimate exercise. And to me, that's like the most illegitimate way to evaluate the talent of this team, because it's such a small sample. If they had won one or two more games, or three, which they easily could have done, then you're talking about like 10 plus more wins over 162. So it's not really fair to do that. And I really wish they weren't doing that. This is a team that easily could have been over 500. But so anyway, Here's what Zaidi said when evaluating the 2020 season. Quote, "That disappointment that a lot of us are feeling mixed with the pride in what we accomplished is going to fuel us to have greater aspirations. It's certainly going to be a goal of ours to be a playoff team next year. That's how we would have planned anyway." Stating it as a goal versus quietly believing it, being aligned organizationally and philosophically as a goal, I'm not sure there's a big distinction there. But I know for our group of players who feel we should be playing right now, that's going to be the goal of the group. He went on to say, quote, "Our mantra has been to maintain flexibility, prioritize development of younger players, and giving those guys opportunities, but also supplement with veterans we think can help our team be competitive. Give the players a chance to compete and be in a position to support them when and if that happens. One thing we will continue to say is we'll try to put together a competitive club every year and see what happens and maintain flexibility to add to that as the situation warrants. We're really proud of the fact that we played wire-to-wire meaningful games this year. In some ways, that pain and disappointment we feel is a good thing. It's a sign of progress because we were right at the brink. That's how we want to feel. We want to create expectations that will be competitive and be in the playoffs. That feeling we have will serve as great motivation for us going forward." End quote. And I really just completely agree with these sentiments. You have to create a winning culture. And that's what we said a couple days ago when we were kind of summarizing the season, is that if anything, the 2020 Giants convinced people and themselves that they could be a competitive team moving forward. And so in that respect, 2020 was a success because nobody expected that. Very few people expected that. Even I, who am more optimistic than most about this team, didn't expect them to be a playoff team in 2020, even with the expanded field. It was kind of a long shot. I thought they had a pretty good chance and that they were definitely going to be better than people thought. People thought they were going to be just terrible, and they were not. I mean, it's just, let's not take for granted the fact that they were a great offensive team in 2020. Not a small sample fluke. They just really hit from start to finish. I mean, maybe not in the last four games or whatever, but I think they changed the culture. And let's not forget, I mean, 2017, 2018, even 2019, these were just bad teams for the most part. Teams that were non-competitive offensively, just went through huge stretches of the season where they were just lost at the plate and could not get anything going offensively. They weren't a particularly good pitching team any of those years either. So it's not like 2020 was very different in that respect. And I would say they actually got better in their starting rotation with Gausman, Smiley, Tyler Anderson, Cueto, and Webb. That might be their best rotation they've had in several years. So Zaidi acknowledged they need starting pitching, and that's going to be a priority of theirs in the offseason. He also talked about a number of other areas where they're going to be looking to improve over the offseason, and he touched on some other topics as well. So we'll discuss all of that in the second half of the show. But first, one reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Best of all, rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the rest of this post-mortem press conference that Farhan Zaidi, Gabe Kapler, and Larry Bear had with reporters yesterday. So we'll get an evaluation from Bear on the job that Zaidi and Kapler did in their first year and talk about what Farhan Zaidi said they need to do this offseason to get them to that place they want to be, which is to compete for a playoff spot in 2021, which I don't think is crazy. It is a little frustrating. We've had a couple of writers covering the Giants talking about how over 162, they probably wouldn't have been as competitive as they were over 60. I just don't understand that. It was a sprint for every team. Like, the Giants had a positive run differential. They had to play an extremely tough schedule, an unbalanced schedule. For example, 7 road games against the Dodgers, 3 home games. But they had to play the Padres 10 times, and you know that was more than most teams in the National League. Anybody outside the NL West didn't have to face them at all. They had to play the A's 6 times, and they really could have easily won like 3 or 4 more games this year. So I just don't buy the like instant reaction that they wouldn't have been competitive over 162. Just like people thought they wouldn't be competitive in a 60-game season, they were wrong. So I don't like just, you know, declaring these other ways that the Giants can't meet your expectations. How about for once, open up your mind and consider the possibility that they might actually be better than you think. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with that, but Zaidi did acknowledge that the team will need starting pitching, and it's just obvious with Kevin Gausman and Drew Smyly and Samardzija and Cahill reaching free agency, the Giants have multiple needs in the starting rotation. Zaidi said of Gausman and Smyly, quote, "It's obviously their prerogative to play out the market, but we certainly have interest in bringing both of those guys back." He also said, quote, "I think it's fair to say we're going to be shopping for some starting pitching this offseason. Having guys who are excited to be here and have interest in coming back, you would imagine that'd be the top of our list." So pretty clear indication that Smyly and Gausman coming back is at the top of their list. But obviously, we don't know what's going to happen. I think even if those guys sign elsewhere, the qualifying offer will be an interesting decision on both of them. But even if they sign elsewhere, I hope that fans and media alike can appreciate the fact that this front office are the ones who went out and found these guys. Nobody was very excited about these signings. Certainly, very few people expected them to be as good as they were, and they were great. And so let's give them the benefit of the doubt, even if they sign elsewhere, that they'll be able to bring in other guys who represent the same kind of upside. Zaidi also acknowledged that they want to probably add a couple of veterans, 1 or 2 veterans, into the bullpen, a la Tony Watson, who is a free agent. So maybe they're interested in bringing back Watson plus another veteran, probably a right-handed veteran reliever. They did, it's worth mentioning, I know the bullpen was kind of shaky in some key moments this year, but down the stretch, they really did get good contributions from several guys like Caleb Berger, Tyler Rogers, Harleen Garcia, Sam Selman, and Wandy Peralta. A couple more items on the list. Zaidi said that they felt like they were maybe one left-handed bat short, and it definitely felt that way to me too, with Evan Longoria, Mauricio Dubon, Joey Bart all being in there against right-handed pitching, and Donovan Solano and Wilmer Flores. They just kind of were missing one more lefty to like platoon with whoever wasn't really playing all that well against righties. And to me, like, Evan Longoria was certainly a guy who probably should have been platooned more, but they didn't really have anybody to play third base and hit left-handed. They hoped that Pablo Sandoval would be able to do that, and he just was not. So I mentioned yesterday that I thought D.D. Gregorius would be a really nice fit in that role. They reportedly tried to sign him last offseason. Gregorius had a nice year, and so he probably will have multiple suitors, but I could see them being interested if he was willing to just not exclusively play shortstop and move around, play third, play second, and be able to fill in at short when Crawford needs a day off. I think that would be a really nice fit, but I'm sure they have other names on their list as well. Lastly, he talked about Joey Bart and the catcher position. He said of Bart, quote, "There's definitely some development left there. We're going to have Aramis Garcia coming back. We've still got Heinemann and Tromp in our catching depth chart. I wouldn't even rule out going outside the organization and getting some help to enable Joey to get a little bit more of that development. We're super high on him going forward. I think we saw a lot of why he was the second overall pick in the draft a couple years ago. But again, everything we do is going to be about setting him up for success in the long term. So that would be like possibly a Steven Vogt reunion. I'm not sure that the Diamondbacks will end up picking up his club option or that it exercised. I think it might have been a vesting option, but he didn't play a lot this year, so he's probably going to be available again, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants had interest in bringing him back if he did become a free agent again. So lastly, just an analysis of the job that Zaidi and Kapler did from Larry Bear. He said, quote, "As we got into the season with all the stops and starts of getting the season going, we felt Farhan, Gabe did a great job of keeping us competitive all year and getting us down to literally the last pitch of the last game. A big thumbs up in that respect, knowing we still wanted to go further. I think the future is very bright for this organization." And he's right. They're not just talking themselves up. It definitely was a successful year. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Win percentage be damned, because they had a positive run differential. They were eighth in Major League Baseball in runs scored. I think with a couple upgrades in the rotation and a veteran, just basically what Zaidi was saying they needed, starting rotation, maybe a veteran in the pen, a left-handed bat, and maybe some more experience at catcher, Posey coming back being a huge part of that, the Giants would be a pretty darn good team. And that's not something we could have said in 17, 18, or probably significant parts of 19 before Zaidi started to turn over the roster a little bit and get the likes of Solano, Dickerson, Yastrzemski, and others onto the roster. So that is all the time we have for today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll either do looking back at the numbers for the Giants this season, looking at individual players and the team as a whole, or we'll talk about the instructional league and the players the Giants are sending there. I think they have arrived already. So what that means, who's going to be there, and what to expect out of the Giants participating in this instructional league. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider hitting that subscribe button, leaving a review, rating the show. Whatever you can do is very much appreciated. Really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. I can't wait. Thank you so much for listening. And until then, we'll see you next time.